This afternoon, we'd like to see the title of the ants in Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. For online courses people, we'd like to suggest the three questions. Number one, in verse 2, 3, or 6, what does the phrase of the end mean in this context? What does the phrase of the end mean in this context? Question 2. In verses 3, 4, 8, or 6, what is the phrase of your abominations and why does God call it? What is the phrase of your abominations and why does God call it? The last question 3, in verse 12, the time has come, the day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is on their whole multitude. What does it mean? What does it mean? The last question, verse 12. First of all, we want to see brief background. Ezekiel prophesied in Babylon captivity during about 592 through 570 before Christ, while Jeremiah prophesied in Jerusalem during about 626 before Christ through 586 before Christ. Here, chapter 7 took place in about 592 before Christ, which was the second captivity of the Jews by Babylon, after the first captivity, including Daniel, in about 606 before Christ. So, this chapter is about 6 years before Judah's final fall, or the third captivity in about 586 before Christ. Since the first captivity, the Jews is going to carry away as slaves into Babylon for a period of 70 years until 536 before Christ, when Persia conquered Babylon and released the Jews to return home. So verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, hear to me, meaning to Ezekiel. So prophet simply means a person who delivered God's word, simply delivering man over God's word. That's called as the prophet. Verse 2, and you, son of man, just says the Lord of God to the land of Israel. So that time, you know, Israel is a general term. You know, that historical that time, actual term, Judah. Because the northern nation named as Israel was already conquered by Assyria. So the northern Israel no longer existed when Ezekiel delivered God's word to a southern nation, Judah. But the general term, Israel, like the land of Israel. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Four corners of the land meaning east, west, north, south, which meaning everywhere of the land. So that's the end. So the first question, what does it mean? So verse 3 also the end. Verse 6, the end. The end simply means the end of divine mercy, the end of God's patience, which is the time of judgment in his time. So historically, Judah's fall by Babylon in 586 before Christ. So the end is the Judah complete fall by Babylon. So the Judah's residents are carried away as slaves into Babylon. So that call is the end. So Genesis chapter 6 verse 3, you know, basically we are seeing God is long-suffering. God is patient. So before God in punishment, flood judgment against the earth, God said, Genesis chapter 6 verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. Which meaning my spirit, the Holy Spirit shall not work hard with people forever. Which means a certain time. For because he is indeed a flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. He meaning man. So man's days 120 years, which means God is patient. How long? For 120 years, then God will punish the flood judgment on the earth in this context. Genesis chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. Now Noah was making the big ship. Two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. So the flood stayed there for 40 days. So that time is when closed the door over the ark, no people were allowed to enter into the ark. So here, God is long-suffering. God is patient to people to give opportunity to repent their sins, but not forever. Also, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 30 said, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Today, many people listen to the word of God, but they did not accept it, but rather than sin willfully, contrary to the word of God. The origin no longer remain a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. But someday, in God's time, judgment will come on the earth. And fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Adversary meaning adversaries against God or against God's people. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So somebody rejected Moses' law. Moses' law is basically God's word, because God gave word to Moses. That's called as Moses' law. So they rejected Moses' law, but they are witnesses, at least two witnesses there, so they will be stoned to death. Over how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Somebody, you know, cursed the Son of God, so that is counted the blood of the covenant, Jesus' blood. The blood of covenant meaning new covenant. Jesus' bloodshed and cleans away, you know, all human sins. You know, as long as each one, you know, accepts, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, bloodshed, you know, to cleans away his own sin, by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine; I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. So we don't know exact day, but we know that, you know, God's judgment is near in certain time. So Romans chapter 11 verse 25, disciples said, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. So that's an interesting phrase. You should not be wise in your own opinion, rather than in, you know, God's word, you know, God's opinion, God's respectiveness. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So right now, you know, majority of Israelites are blind to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But very few people accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But they're not blind, but until the fullest of the Gentiles, so non-Jews, the fullest, are fullest accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that time. So basically, God is a patient, but not forever, but in His time, He will judge, you know, people according to His righteousness. So the end here, answer is, the in this context, the end meaning Judah's fall by Babylon, so implies the end of God's mercy, God's patience, so which is God's judgment time. So then verse 3, now the end has come, you know, God's judgment come, which means Babylonian, today Iraqis, forefather in Babylon. Babylonians, you know, invaded into southern Judah, so they, you know, took even King Zedekiah as a slave into Babylon, you know, all in Jerusalem residents, you know, that time is. The end has come upon you, you meaning audience in Judah, you know, Israelite. And I will send my anger, anger meaning God's anger for righteousness, His righteousness, my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways. If God judges according to each human's way, everybody will be punished by God with what he deserves upon his righteousness. That's why we need, you know, God's mercifulness. We need to repent, God's forgiveness. For example, Psalm chapter 51, verse 1, David the king committed adultery. He stole his soldier's wife, Bathsheba. So, but David's adultery of Bathsheba pointed out by Nathan. So then David said, Psalm chapter 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me. Mercy meaning simply, you know, forgive my sin, my adultery. Mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, rather than according to my way, the David's adultery ways. No, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. So tender, you know, softer, kind mercies. Blot out my transgressions, my intentional sin, adultery sin. Blot out my transgressions. Then God said, and I will repay you for all your abominations. This is a question to you. What is abomination? Abominations means simply hatred thing. Here, abomination meaning the things which God hated. So, what are they? That is simply idolatry. So, lover more other than God. That's defined as idolatry. Why? Because in other religion, for example, in my childhood, I was a Buddhist. And a Buddhist allowed, you know, any gods, because in a Buddhist believer can get find the virtue in any other religion rather than Buddhism. So that's why in Buddhist I read the Bible, because a Buddha monk allowed me to read the Bible to seek for truth. But the other religion like that, Confucianism, that's the same way. Not only Confucius. Confucius basically ancient ghost worship. That is Confucius basically. Not only ancient worship ghosts, but they allow the other religion. But here, God said your abomination. God said hatred thing. Not a lot. Why? That's the question. Because Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. Because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Because God, Jehovah God, is a jealous God. That's why Jehovah God does not allow you to serve, to work for other God. Even your children, your son, your daughter. God hates that. God is called as abomination. So I am a jealous God visiting the iniquity. God defined iniquity, meaning sin, of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So basically, if you serve others, God considers that behavior as iniquity. So God considers that behavior, you hated me. Why? Because God, Jehovah God, is a jealous God. That's why, you know, Jehovah God says always, you alone we worship. Not you and other gods. No, you alone. God wants us to worship exclusively. You know, to love God exclusively. That's the issue. So abominations means in other religion, they could not understand abomination, this term, you know, actually. But in the Bible, God doesn't want you, children of God, serve, work, you know, love more than God. That's a bottom line. In that time, you know, four major idol gods, you know, number one, Baal, the god of knowledge, also Molech, you know, pleasure god, also Mammon, you know, gold or money god, the last one, Ashtoreth, the fertility, sexual god. You know, that is the four major gods. First of all, my eyes will not spare you, nor will I have a pity. So now it's no pity, no mercy, because mercy is the end. I will, because now God's judgment time, I will repay your ways, and your abomination will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So here, repay your ways. Your ways meaning the ways that you decided by yourself, not that God directed. Your ways meaning you decide by yourself. Few minutes ago, I prayed for, you know, one member in the Rockport's house. Basically, he got him two jobs, but he doesn't know which way God's way. But he has a certain preference. But he doesn't know which way God's way. But he asked me pray which way God's way. So we prayed together. Because we honor you. We don't know which way your ways. So please reveal, you know, your ways. That's important here is according to your ways, meaning, you know, people, human ways, not God's ways. And I will repay you for all your abominations. Your ways, basically, idolatry, idol worshippers kind of thing. So I am the Lord. So the Lord is righteous and fair. So Ezekiel chapter 6, verses 7, 13, 14, also God said is, you know, you shall know that I am the Lord. So basically, you know the God's character, which is righteous and fair. Fair meaning God destroy against the evil, promote in goodness. Also, as God is righteous, I am the Lord. Thus said the Lord God, a digester, a singular digester, one big, you know, blow out in Judah. Behold, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. The end, the God's judgment time, already in Judah complete, in a fall. No longer Judah nation would exist. 6 years later, after Ezekiel prophesied this chapter, it has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you. You who dwell in the land, the time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. What is rejoicing in the mountains? Then means the time of harvest, such as a vintage. Because in order to harvest of a grape, over, you know, vineyard. So that is in mountain, the Jewish people, you know, the rejoicing time. So God said, no rejoicing time, no rejoicing time, because at that time, Babylon, you know, would conquer it and destroy everything. Now upon you, I will soon pour out my fury or my anger for God's righteousness and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, not according to God's mercifulness, God's loving kindness. Then I will repay for all your abomination. My eye will not spare, no more mercy, nor will I have a pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abomination will be in your midst. So still now, God is open to everybody for salvation. So God already, John chapter 16, so God allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to the world, meaning everybody. God's salvation opportunity is given to everybody, but each audience has a right to exercise free will to accept or reject. So now it should be acceptable time to unbelievers. Otherwise, in his time, so the judgment will come soon. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. Here, God said, to exercise, execute God's righteousness, you should know God is the Lord who strike God, the Lord the striker, rather than supplier for your nasty, or you know, the giver of peace, or no shalom God. He is striker God to execute God's righteousness. Verse 10, behold the day, behold it has come, doom has gone out, the rock has blossoms. God rotted blossoms means God's judgment, punishment is ripened. Pride has budded. Pride's consequence, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction. So if you have pride, next step is destruction. So pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So God give grace to the humble, so is against the pride. Violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, none of their multitude, none of them, nor shall there be willing for them. Why? Everybody were, you know, going to be kidnapped. So the time has come, the day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for rest is on their whole multitude. The question to read here, why, what does it mean, let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn? Which meaning, at that time in the Jewish people, each tribe, you know, received the family land property by Joshua. Chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14, verse 1. These are the area which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan. Canaan is a promised land, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, Joshua is a leader, and the heads of the father of tribes of children of Israel, so 12 tribes of Israel, distributed as an inheritance to them. So each tribe received an inherited land, their family land. So seller is forced to sell because of a financial difficulty. Obviously seller mourning because they, you know, they must sell his family inherited land to somebody, so they are mourning, while buyer is expanding his inherited land to buy it. So therefore, they feel rejoicing. So, but here said, meaningless. Why? Because the slaver had no right to return home into Israel, because Babylon carried away Israelites as slaves into foreign country in Babylon, today Iraq. So slavers has no right, they have no right to travel. So that's why is no rejoice to buyer, no mourn to seller. For rest is on their whole multitude. For the seller shall not return, here says, shall not return to what has been sold, although he may still be alive. For the vision concerned the whole multitude, and it shall not turn back. No one will strangle himself who lives in iniquity. Let's see each question. In verse 2, 3, or 6, what does the phrase of the end mean in this context? The end meaning, historically, the Judah nation completed fall by Babylon. So also implied the end of God's mercy and God's patience, so which is God's judgment. Question 2, in verse 3, 4, 8, or 9, what is the phrase of your abominations? Abomination means hatred things, in this context meaning idolatry. And why does God call it idolatry? Because our God is a jealous God, unlike other pagan gods. Question 3, in verse 12, the time has come, the day draws near, let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is on their own multitude. What does it mean? So even if a buyer is buying something, so he, the rejoicing would be meaningless. Or the seller is forced to sell his family land to somebody, but his mourning would be meaningless because the slavery status to be by Babylon would have no right to travel, to return to home. That's the answer. Let's sing song all together, last song, then we'll pray for the Lord's Prayer. Okay, thank you.